Mark chapter 16. The message today is workers together. That was the assignment I was given. And last week I introduced the subject by reading to you from Ephesians 4, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body. And so today we want to see how that one body works together. I want to read you four scriptures. I would like to read many more, but these four will have to introduce the subject today of working together. So Mark 16. Verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by the signs that followed. Amen. The Lord working with them. And now, 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 5. What then is Apollos? And what is Paul? Ministers through whom you believe, and each as the Lord gave to him. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, but each shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's husbandry, God's building. Now, 2 Corinthians 6. We are told in chapter 5 that we are ambassadors for Christ. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 6, and working together with him. We entreat also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. And the last scripture in Acts chapter 18. Verse 1. After these things, he departed from Athens, that is Paul, and came to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, a man of Pontus by race, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came unto them. And because he was of the same trade, he abode with them, and they worked. For by their trade, they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded Jews and Greeks. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all the things that you tell us, telling us first of all about something which if we worked from the time we came into the world until when we leave the world, we could never earn salvation, but telling us also, Father, of the work that you have given us to do, now that as a free gift you have given us salvation. And so we pray that today, by the help of your Spirit, we shall learn about working together with you and with our fellow man. So teach us by thy Spirit, we pray. Empower, prepare hearts. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, as you promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Whenever you give an assignment, at times it would seem that that assignment would be easy because you said, speak on working together. And so the natural thing to do would be to look up all the references of working together. How many times do you think those very words, working together, occur in the Bible? Just one time. And I said, this is such a strange thing, but what has happened is this. You're not aware of it, but the same Greek word that we translate working together is given 10 different translations in the King James Bible. And so then I said, I understand. And I did not have just one reference to work with, but 10 and more, because it's translated working together, laborers, fellow laborers, companion in labor. You see all these variations, but all of them have to do with God's children working together with one another and with outsiders as well. Because getting saved is an individual thing, but carrying on the work of God is a collective thing. And it cannot be done by one, but it must be accomplished by all. I read to you last week from Ephesians chapter 4. It said that Christ gave gifts unto men. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ. And so it's not given to one of the gifts, but to all of these gifts, and these gifts work together. And we have different gifts. And I read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that Paul said, I planted. And in that instance, he was the evangelist. And he said, Apollos watered. Then Apollos was the teacher. But notice, an evangelist and a teacher were working together. Paul did not have all the gifts. He had a multiplicity of them. But he was not able to do everything. And when he would plant an assembly, he would send different gifted men to help that assembly. And he confessed. He said, I planted, but Apollos watered. And then he gives the ultimate, and he says, but God gave the increase. So then, he that plants is nothing. He that waters is nothing, but God that gives the increase. However, it says in Mark 16 that God works with us, and in Corinthians, working together with God. And so God, unless he miraculously intervenes, is not going to have any harvest unless his children do his work. Do you think that God needs you to pray to him to accomplish the things that he wants to come to pass? But he tells us to pray. And of all things it says that Elijah was a man of like passions, but he prayed about rain, not raining and raining, and God answered that prayer. God did not need Elijah's prayer to bring rain, but that's the way that God works. And so God does not need you to preach, to teach. I'm sure that there are angels that could do a far better job, because listen to them in the book of Daniel and in the book of Revelation when they are teaching John and when they are teaching Daniel, and they have brilliance. They have an understanding that you and I do not possess. But what God says is, I want my children, having been saved, having been gifted with a particular gift, I want them to build up my church, to bring the completion, that bride for my son. And that is what we are seeking to do, and I want to bring to your attention today, working together. Now, did you notice that while I mentioned Paul and Apollos, I only mentioned two working together, but I want to bring four more to your attention because it is essential. I want to mention an old man working with a young man. I want to mention two men of the same age working together. And I want to mention an old man working with young men. And also, I want to mention a man that is not an eloquent speaker working with a man who is an eloquent speaker, and a man who is saved working with those who are unsaved. Could you work with all those various people? You say, I don't know. Some young people are not able to work with old people. Old people are dismissed. And sad to say, some old people are not able to work with young people. They dismiss the young people. And some that are the same age are not able to work together. And then some who are old are not able to work with young and give them maturity. And some are not able to work with the unsaved. But the thing about the Apostle Paul is that, from what God has told us, there is no man who has worked with a greater number and variety of God's creatures, not only the saved but the unsaved, than the Apostle Paul. And when I started checking all of this out, I started looking up every name that Paul mentions with whom he was associated and with whom he worked, and there were at least 45 different persons. Now tell me who they are. And yet Paul knew them all by name, and he would mention their name and tell you what their characteristic was that made them outstanding. And the Apostle Paul was a man who was able to accommodate himself to one who was older than he was, one who was more eloquent than he was, one who was less than he was being lost. He was able to work with a great variety of people, and that's what we need. I told you last week that there is one body, and that one body consists of Jew and Gentile. It consists of every variation, and God has accepted all of these, but what God wants is for us to work together, and some are not willing to do that. But first of all, I want to confess now, as an old man, I'm almost 80, an old man, that I can say with David, I have been young, but now am old. And when I was a young man, there was someone who was older that worked with me and helped me. And I will tell you some of them that were older than I. From the assembly that I fellowshiped with at the very first in Raleigh, there was an old brother there named Jimmy Chapel, and he helped me ever so much. And there was an older brother named Luther Wilson, and he helped me very much. And there was another brother that you may have heard of named Reginald Edwards Sr., and he helped me abundantly. All of these old men, when I was a very young man, helped me. And without their help, I do not know if I would have matured to a middle-aged man and gone into the work of God. But all of them helped me for 10 years. And after 10 years, then I went into the work of the Lord as a commended worker. Now, I mention that because you do not realize, since Paul was so great, the greatness of the man that was influential in making Paul, assisting Paul, maturing Paul when Paul was a young man. There was a man named Simeon, an old man, when the Apostle Paul was blind because of the light that he saw on the road to Damascus. He was blind. And God sent a man named Simeon, and he restored Saul's sight, and he baptized him, and he told him God's will for his life. How indebted was the Apostle Paul at that time, simply Saul of Tarsus, how indebted he was to Simeon for sight and insight into the will of God. But when Paul returned to Jerusalem and tried to associate himself with the Christians there, they would have nothing to do with him. But there was a man named Barnabas who took Paul's side, took him to the brethren, spoke well for him, explained about his conversion and how he had been preaching faithfully and with strength in the name of the Lord. And Paul was introduced to the Christians by Barnabas. Think of how great indebtedness Paul was to Barnabas. But that is not enough. When a meeting at Antioch was being formed, Barnabas was sent to see and examine that meeting. And we learn some excellent things about Barnabas that we would not have known. It says this, that he was a good man, he was full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And when he saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. Here is a Jew, and he sees Gentiles that are saved, and his heart is glad. Do you realize that some Jews who would look at Gentiles would be jealous and would want to reject them? But Barnabas wanted to accept them. And seeing this church and its need of teaching in Antioch, it says that Barnabas remembered Saul of Tarsus, and he went back to Tarsus to find him, and he brought him from Tarsus to Antioch, and he said, Paul, I want you to work with me here. And an old man with a young man worked together a whole year. You see how indebted Saul of Tarsus is to Barnabas in introducing him to the Christians at first, and then going and taking him from obscurity in Tarsus and bringing him into the Gentile world. And then God says, I want these two to work together. They are there in the church at Antioch, and the Spirit of God says, separate unto me for the work of the Lord, Barnabas and Saul. And so Saul, on his own, by the guidance of the Spirit, helped Saul as a young man. And then, having worked together, the Spirit of God says, I want these two to continue to work together, doing my will. And so the church at Antioch commended them to the work of the Lord. And Barnabas, an old man, went forth with Saul of Tarsus as a young man. Think of how indebted Saul was to Barnabas. Now what happens is this. When you have an old man and a young man, there can be friction because there is certain respect, there is certain priority that is to be given to an old man, and some young people do not want to do that. But the Apostle Paul was quite prepared to take a subservient place with Barnabas for 1 year and all the time that they stayed together at Antioch, and then when they went out into the work of the Lord. But what finally happened was this, that Barnabas was of a certain nature and Saul was of a certain nature. And Saul would do most of the preaching. And finally, when it said Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul, then it was Barnabas and Paul, and then Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas. Now, that can be a dividing factor. When a young man takes prominence and an old man is given second place, but it meant nothing to Barnabas. Thank God for that. Thank God for old men who look at a young man and see his gift and his ability to excel in an area that he cannot excel in, and he lets that young man come forth. I remember, and I've never forgotten it, an old man that started many assemblies, and I was preaching with him, and he said to me, he said, I want you to teach because I can never teach the way you can. Words to that effect, an old man. And it meant so much, and so he stepped aside and let me teach. How many old men do you find doing that? I remember King Saul, when young David came along and was rising to a prominent place, and people were praising David, Saul said, they are saying, I only killed thousands, and David killed 10,000. And he took his spear and wanted to murder David. But Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And he was a gracious man. And so he was willing, when there was a young man like Saul of Tarsus, who could develop and could do things he could not do, he was willing to let him take the prominent place. And so, old man, remember that. I'm quite willing to let a young man take a prominent place. If he can outdo me and preach better than I can, and he knows more than I can, you come, and I will let you take my place. What happens is this, and this is the danger, and I have it written. It says in Ecclesiastes, better is a young wise man than an old and foolish king who knoweth not how to any more take admonition. Think of that. And so when you become old and you are not able to take admonition anymore, nobody can teach you anything anymore, God says that young man that has wisdom is better than you. And so important is it that I put it down in my Bible to remember. So, what happens is this, that as Barnabas was looking for young men, so the Apostle Paul also was looking for young men, and Barnabas had a cousin named John Mark, and he went with them into the work. But after a short period, John Mark abandoned the work and went back to Mother in Jerusalem. And so Paul and Barnabas are doing a great work, and all goes well during their first missionary journey. But what happens is this, that when they complete it and carry out other tasks, then Paul says, all those Christians that we led to the Lord, these assemblies that we established, they need building up. They need attention. Let us go back. And Barnabas said, yes. And what we will do is this. We will take John Mark with us again. And Paul said, no, we are not to take John Mark. He abandoned us in the work, and his temperament is not to go with us on missionary journeys. He is not able to take privations. He is not able to be separated from the comforts of Jerusalem. It's not good to take him. Let you and let me go together on this second missionary journey. And this is the sad thing. When a young man takes a firm stand against an older man, and so finally, the contention became so sharp that they separated one from another. Now, that is heartbreaking. When something that is not right or wrong, but which is simply a matter of judgment, separates two men, one that meant so much to the other, and the other one being so indebted to the other, when these men can no longer work together. And not over right and wrong, but the Apostle Paul was quite willing to accept John Mark, because you read later on, he says, bring Mark with you. He is profitable to me for ministering. Paul said, he has not matured enough. This is not the time. It is too soon to receive him back after failure. And Barnabas said, no, we're going to overlook his failures. And the Apostle Paul was adamant, and so was Barnabas adamant. And so they divided, and then Barnabas took John Mark and went on his missionary journey. And tell me one thing that ever happened with Barnabas and Mark. You don't know anything that happened. I trust that they were successful, but you read no more about them. But Paul chose Silas, and that is when his second missionary journey and the others began. And so it could be of God, but understand that one of the saddest times in life is when old, dear friends are separated, not because of right and wrong, but because I think it hasn't been long enough. I think it has been long enough. So understand that. But God still sent two missionaries on two different journeys when this happened, and God knows, perhaps Barnabas and John Mark were successful in what they did, but it is not recorded for us in the book of Acts or anywhere else in the New Testament. But now, Paul chooses a man his own age, Silas, and the remarkable thing is this, that Silas came from that church at Jerusalem, and most of them at Jerusalem were strictly the law of Moses men. They had a strong contention, this church at Jerusalem. But here is Silas, who is one of that church. And yet, the Apostle Paul looks at him and says, I want Silas. And now, for the first time, someone about the same age as Paul, and one as gifted as Paul, because it says that Silas was a prophet, and the Apostle Paul was a prophet as well. And so now you have two prophets about the same age working together. And this is an interesting area of service for the Lord, because I've worked with old men, and I've worked with men my own age, and I can remember things that happened with men my own age, and it's such a different thing, because there is one, you all know Jade Nicholson, but I used to preach with his father, Boyd Nicholson, because we were about the same age. And I remember this, two men the same age, we were at a big conference in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and all the important people like the Pells and the Van Ryns and all the authorities from Chicago had come to this conference, and Boyd Nicholson and I were the speakers. And Boyd took me by the hand and said, John, we've got to pray. And so we went in to pray, and he pulled me down to my knees, and he said, Lord, he said, we're not trying to deceive you. We're scared. We don't know what to do. And I was laughing because I had studied and my message was prepared and I wasn't afraid at all. But he was. And so here is a young man with another young man. And I'm so thankful that I was praying for him. And I wasn't afraid of these men, but he was. And one of the finest speakers about my age now, I don't know if he's still living. I hear that he used to become sick to his stomach before he was going to speak. The only time I've ever been nervous is if you have asked me to speak on a subject that I haven't been able to study through. But if I've been able to study it through, I'm not concerned. But then if you ask me to speak and I hadn't studied it through, I will say, you will have to make allowances, and so then I would still speak. And if anything went wrong, it was because you asked me to speak too quickly without giving me a time to study. But notice, young men with young men speaking. But there was one man that I did used to speak with who was my own age, John Harper. He was a dear brother. He's with the Lord now. But he would study the Word of God. He knew things, and I could discuss things with him as an equal. And we had excellent fellowship together, and we ministered the Word of God together. But you can't always find two that are the same age that are equal. One may be more gifted than another. But if so, you have to do like this. You have to work with that brother and pray for him with his shortcomings, and he has to pray for you with your shortcomings. That's when you work with men your own age. And finally, this is what happened. You who were young become old, and now instead of Barnabas working with you, you are the old man, and you have to look for a young man to work with you. And that is a joy when you can find young men that want to work with old men. But you can't find them. You realize that I've spoken to young men in the assemblies and told them, if you would like to study with me, come, and I will help you. And I cannot remember but one who ever did. If in Raleigh, Brother Jimmy Chappell and Luther Wilson and Brother Edwards had the resources that I could go to and get. But what happens is that that's not the way. But it should be. And so here are young men, and they are to look for young men to take into the work. And that is what Paul did. And Paul would go, and he would find a man like Timothy, and he would find a man like Titus, and he would train these young men. And when they were trained to a certain degree of proficiency, he would send them to an assembly and say, appoint elders in that assembly. Straighten things out in that assembly. That would be a wonderful thing. I'm wondering what's going to happen to the assemblies. Who is going to teach gathering to the name of the Lord, being faithful to the scriptures? I remember speaking at an assembly and telling those that were complaining about no teaching. I said, I come and teach. And they said, yes. And you're about 80 years old. And I said, well, don't you have anybody else? They said, yes. we have John Bramhall. He's 100 years old. And John Bramhall is gone, and God knows how much longer I'm going to be here. But if you have young men like Timothy and Titus, this is what Paul says. The things which thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. This is what God wants. But I've looked at the assemblies, and I do not see them getting stronger, but getting weaker, and the things that were once precious to us, they're not as precious anymore. The priorities are not the same. And so the only thing that you can do is to look for a Timothy or a Titus and try to instill in them the truth of love and worship and faithfulness to God, and then commit them to God and to the word of His grace. And so, finally, a man who is young, who becomes old, and then he's looking for young men. And please do not be so discriminating for this reason. Timothy was only half a Jew, and Titus was entirely Gentile, and yet the Apostle Paul could work with both of them. And this, are you able to work with unsaved people? Do you realize that if I read it correctly, Aquila and Priscilla were unsaved, but the Apostle Paul, because he knew how to make tents, and they were tent makers, he cast in his lot with them, and they worked together in secular occupation. They worked together, and I take it that Paul, as they were working, led them to Christ, and they turned out to be the most faithful couple that you find in the Bible that worked with the Apostle Paul in spreading the Word of God. And once in a while, not often in the assemblies, but you get an eloquent man. You get an eloquent man like Apollos. And the Apostle Paul was not an eloquent man. This is what they said of him. His bodily presence is weak, and his speech is contemptible. But what he said wasn't contemptible, but that was his appearance. But Apollos could come, and he could stand and speak eloquently. But he had limited knowledge. But the Apostle Paul was willing to speak with him. And I've spoken with eloquent men before. And I have looked at them, and I've seen the way that they do things. You see, you're supposed to speak in a certain way and lift your head, and you put out your hand this way, and then you put emotion in your voice. In fact, I had a man to tell me once. He said, do not stop so abruptly and put emotion in your voice and sound sympathetic. And then if you give an altar call, you're liable to get some people that respond. I said, never. I would rather be rude in speech and speak from the heart and let the Spirit of God do it. But there are some who are eloquent, and the Apostle Paul would acknowledge that. And Apollos, he would say, I'll send Apollos to you, and I hope he will come, and he will be of help to you. And so this is why God used the Apostle Paul, because he could work together with anyone, with someone older, with someone younger, with someone of a different nationality, with someone with different gift, with different presentation. He was able to work with them all. And this is what God would have us to do, to be able, as children of God, to work together. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for all that you tell us about working together. Let us know that because of our different ages and personalities and nationalities, it's hard for some. We are thankful that you've given us the Apostle Paul to show us how he could work with anyone, and when, Father, to overlook failures, and when to take a stand against failures. We are thankful, our Father, for the example that you've given us in Paul. And so if we are young, let us give respect to the old. And if we are old, our Father, let us help the young. And if we are those that are equally gifted, let us help one another. Help us to become all things to all men, our Father, that as you work together with us, your creatures, so we, your creatures, may work together for the glory of God. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.